Christ and friends, for today's sermon text, the psalmist, under inspiration of God, poses a very weighty and a very important question and answer for the up and coming generation. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 9, that well known verse, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." Verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." In essence, he is implying, by what means can a young person be made righteous in the sight of God and know of God's cleansing, as it were? A very simple, yet a very profound question and answer we have here. And yet, how slow can we Christians be to take on board God's instruction in this particular area? Although the question is posed to the instruction of the youth of the up-and-coming generation, it comes from the concern of a loving, experienced father in David who has learned many things over the years. And so this eternally important question and answer is not only designed for the blessing of the up-and-coming generation, of the youth, but also for Christian parents. And, may I dare say, grandparents as well, to take hold on it by faith in the upbringing of the next generation for God's glory. And so for today's sermon, I would just like for us to consider the following three points of application. Firstly, fleeing youthful lusts, as we read in 2 Timothy 2. Fleeing youthful lusts. Secondly, where can a young person know of cleansing his way? Where can a young person know of cleansing his way? And thirdly, taking heed according to God's word. Thirdly, taking heed according to God's word. And so firstly, fleeing youthful lusts. Fleeing youthful lusts. The very question that God's word asks us here today suggests that some sins are more prevalent in the youth than that of all ages. And of course that's true, isn't it? Although people, aged people, can also be guilty of youthful lusts, it is fair to say that they are more prevalent in the youth. And so it's fitting why the psalmist is addressing the youth. Hence why the psalmist, under inspiration of God, uses the word cleanse here, cleanse. Of course, he is not just referring to our general depravity, because we all are born, aren't we, in sin, as David said. In sin, my mother conceived me. And so we're born in sin. We know that all of us have that total depravity within us. Every sense has been corrupted. But he's also talking about cleansing, in particular, youthful lusts. Those great sins which are more susceptible to the youth. Now our youth need to understand that God takes purity very, very seriously. And in particular, purity of the heart, he takes very seriously. If any young person desires to seek after God, he or she must not think to take their youthful lusts with them. It's very important for us to understand that. If any person, young person, desires to seek after God, you cannot take your youthful lusts with you. You see, our culture is very ready to excuse young persons' youthful lusts and even encourage them in it, but not so with God.
I've heard it so many times before, even sad to say, from professing Christians. Oh, well, you've just got to allow children to find their own way in life. And you've got to let them just try things, and it will turn out well in the end. I've heard it so many times, friends, by many people, and not so with God. A child left to himself will come to ruin, eternal ruin. You know, there's good reason why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And the Lord God said in Exodus 2:18, it is not good that a man should be alone. The Lord has provided an antidote to youthful passions and lusts, which must only be satisfied upon biblical marriage. I am all for Christian young men and women being married early. It, of course, it opposes itself to our culture now, which I think I researched this a while ago, seeing men and women being married now in their 30s. Can you believe that? In their 30s. And of course, this pattern is making its way to the church, where more and more young Christian men, instead of pursuing a godly wife who will help equip them in the spiritual fight, they are pursuing their careers and pursuing other things. And they don't see the jewel of a believing wife, as the Bible describes a ruby, as it were, and who finds favor in the sight of God finds a true believer. And so there's an antidote for youthful passions. Now, I understand that we are living in a fallen, sinful world, and I understand that there are temptations and perverseness and sinful influences all around that. I understand these things. However, let us not be faithless, but trusting in God's word, which says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things we can do with Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe, young person, that God is able to help you overcome those Goliath lusts and sins? We all have them. I was once young in terms of teenager. I understand these things. Do you believe, though, that by God's grace and by keeping close accounts with God and caring, taking heed to God's word, that He can help you overcome those lusts, those sins of the mind and of the imagination? Our young people need to know that youthful urges and fantasies and passions of the mind must in no way be indulged upon. God wants you to understand that through His word that you must flee youthful lusts. You cannot indulge them. You must see your need of cleansing of youthful lusts. For it is written in Galatians 6:8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see, if we just sow to the flesh as if we are just like animals, we just gratify how we feel. Well, I can't help it, we may say. I feel this way. I can't help but do these things. You can help it. You can if you sow to the Spirit. If you truly desire to get right with God, you can, if you truly seek the Lord and sow to the things which are conducive to the Holy Spirit of God and to God's blessing. In Genesis 39, Joseph was repeatedly enticed by Potiphar's wife, wasn't he? In verse 10 of Genesis 39, it says, day by day, we kind of read over these things, but day by day, Joseph was repeatedly enticed and tempted by Potiphar's wife. Every day,
persistently, every day, he was being enticed. Every day, and even when she tried to grab him by the arm, when the other men were not around, grabbed him, as it were, to make him sin against his God, who blessed him, although he went through many discouragements, he would not sin against God and commit such wickedness. And yet he fled from her in that occasion, didn't he? As if he was fleeing for his life. He fled from her, from these youthful lusts, as if he was fleeing for his very life. Young people, you must flee from youthful lusts, as if you are fleeing for your very life. Your life is on the stake here. It's not so much that we're not discounting that you don't have them. We all have them. It's what you do about it that counts. You must flee from youthful lust. Your life, your eternal welfare is at stake here. And even those of the heart, for they will take you far away from God. Solomon knew of that, those youthful lusts. It took him far away from the Lord, didn't it? And he was a great bitterness of soul because of these things. You must not take hold on youthful lust by your mind or your imagination, as Potiphar's wife did. That's what happens, you see, if we gratify our lusts, if we hold on to them, like Potiphar's wife held on to Joseph's arm. That's what happened. That corruption will get worse and worse and worse. And before you know it, you will, like the men and women and children of Sodom and Gomorrah, you will find yourself doing things which you never dreamed you were. The boundaries, the lines, which you thought you'd never cross. If you gratify those lusts, you'll find yourself going down a very dark, wicked way. They just get worse. And that's why you see people, you're not born homosexual. That's why you see people who have persisted in lusts year after year. That's the next stage. They are not content with marriage, so they go the next step further, and the next step, and the next step. And that's why we see so much wickedness around us in this respect. Sowing to the flesh, as it were. Be wise, as Joseph was wise, and follow after righteousness by faith. We must do it by faith, that you may be a vessel of honor, fit for the Lord's use, and not a vessel of dishonor. Remember that reading, Timothy 2, we read earlier. This now brings us to our second consideration for today's sermon. Where can a young person know of cleansing his way? Where can a young person, it says, wherewithal, by what means can a young person cleanse his way? Now, there's two points of application I would like for us to consider here. Firstly, application for parents. I'm not going to allow parents to get off the hook here. So for you children, there's more youth in here than adults. Parents should not get off the hook here. So firstly, application for parents in this respect, and for those who have a charge in that respect. Secondly, application for our youth, again, in this respect. And so firstly, application for parents. God's word says in Psalm 127, that children are a heritage of the Lord. They are meant for our blessing in the faith, and that they can be likened to arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Arrows. What a lovely picture we have here of God's blessing. Arrows. We Christian parents must understand that if God has blessed us with children, it is our responsibility to bring them up in God's ways, according to His Word, according to God's Word, taking heed to God's Word. And so, children, where can children find warning? It must be from their parents, who teach them diligently God's Word, train them up, not only with words, but by their life. They must take heed
our parents who are teaching them God's word. We need to be good stewards, don't we, of what God has given us. And you see, if God has blessed us with children, they are arrows, aren't they? They will prolong the faith if we take the pains to bring them up in the ways of God. And if we bring them up and teach them diligently and show them by our life and bring them up in God's ways and prepare them for the spiritual enemies and snares of life that will lay ahead of them, we need to prepare those arrows, sharpen them, as it were, in the faith, prepare them for the years that lie ahead, the snares and the traps of the enemy that lie ahead. If we will not prepare our children as arrows, as it were, for the spiritual warfare, those same arrows will be used against us in the faith. And what a terrible thing that is, that what God has meant for our blessing, that we use it for evil. Yet if we diligently hearken to the voice of God, prepare our children in the faith, as it were, by faith, shoot that arrow, prepare them into the future, that by faith they will prolong the faith of the Lamb. They will be faithful to the Lord by God's grace. But we've got to do this by faith. Else those same arrows will be used against us. The scriptures say in this respect in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Here's a promise from God, the covenant-keeping God. Train up a child means not only with our words, in diligently speaking to our children from the word of God daily, heartily, sincerely to the Lord, but it also means training is showing our children that we love the Lord, being dedicated to the Lord by our example. Training is not just about speaking the word of God to them diligently. It's also about showing them. That's why when someone's trained, I'll show you. I've taught you what to do. Now I'll show you what to do and train you what to do. And so the great folly of many Christians of our nowadays, well, I can just teach my children this and show them these sermons online, and I expect my children to be saved. And I can live in the world. I don't have to assemble together with God's people. I don't have to be committed to the local church. I don't have to be dedicated to the Lord in my home as a father. I can just watch particular programs. No, friends. We have to show by our life, because our children are watching. They're watching if we truly love the Lord, if we truly respect and delight in His commandments, you see. Their children are not dumb. I found that out. They will see. And whilst we all, as parents, have flaws, of course we do, it's our sincerity to the Lord that will shine through. They will see that we truly love the Lord, and we want to live for the Lord. And that will teach them something, that God is real, and the Bible is real, and the Gospel is real. And there is a God, and there is a salvation, and there is a heaven, and there is an eternity, and there is a hell. These things are real. And the power of salvation is real. And these things will teach them and train them these things. And so Joshua has those very profound words, he says, doesn't he? In his zealousness for the Lord in Joshua 24:15, he speaks in this respect. If it seem evil unto you, he says the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see here, he's putting down a marker and saying, don't be a half-hearted Christian. Don't be a half-hearted Christian. Be dedicated to the Lord in every area of your life. Make it your care and your watchfulness and your rule to be conformed to God's word, to take heed of God's word. Don't be a cherry-picking Christian. And we see it all around us, a cherry-picking Christian. Well, I'll pick and choose
the parts of Christianity which I want to do, which I want to be fervent in, and areas which I don't want to be fervent in. I don't want to really get into the fight, as it were, because it's gonna make me tired, it's gonna make me all these things. And Joshua is really saying here, saying you have to be all in. So it's all in or nothing. That's what he's saying here. It was said of Abraham, Genesis 18, verse 19, "For I know him." This is the Lord speaking of Abraham. "I know Abraham. I see his heart. I see the integrity that Abraham is one living by faith, holding to my promises at my word. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that after the Lord, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." He will command his children. He will make it obvious with all integrity to serve the Lord with his whole heart, with his household. The Lord knows our hearts. Friends, we live in the days of globalism, don't we? Globalism, where we see manufacturing and we see everything based around convenience and around outsourcing. Outsourcing is the word now. Outsource to Indian call centers or African call centers, or outsource all our responsibilities so we can live more comfortable lives. And everything now is practically outsourced. And you think, well, if a war were to happen, a proper war were to happen, and we've got rid of our steel supply, we've got rid of all these things, we've got rid of our deterrence in terms of defense, we've got rid of all, what would happen to us? Because we've outsourced everything. And you know, in the same, it's a sad fact as well, that many Christians have outsourced their responsibility as parents. They've caught on to this globalism, this convenience-based Christianity. I'll just outsource my responsibilities. I don't have to show myself approved unto God and study the scriptures and show myself approved and no need to be ashamed, but I can study God's word. And it's a sad fact, friends, that this is the case. And it says in Deuteronomy 6:6-9, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be at the front between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates." We see here believers that are completely dedicated to the Lord. And you notice here, it says very, very profoundly, "Thou shalt teach them diligently. Thou, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou risest up, thou. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility as a parent to bring my children up. You know, something really wonderful happens, something special happens with a father. It just takes God's word. And it doesn't have to be a theologian. I'm not a theologian. I consider myself a very simple man. But there's something special happens where a man with simple faith takes his Bible and just reads God's word reverently to his children, by faith, believing that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. There's something special that happens. You know, so many Christians, I'll go online to my favorite apologetics person, I'll go and just watch sermons by those celebrity evangelists, these many big names out there, and even speaking to my brother this week about those big names. Friends, be careful of the big names out there. And you know those big names which I'm talking about. The big names, even within Calvinistic circles. You know, they may have done many mighty things for the Lord in days past, but they're not right in all areas. And we were just speaking to my brother earlier this week. You know, some of these big evangelists, the big apologetics ministries, and in Calvinistic circles, and you know, some of them show a terrible example
in many areas of their life.
I mean, I'll just give it one example. I'm not going to mention many names, but I'll just mention this one name. Jeff Durbin. He's got this very well-known apologetics ministry now. Completely worldly. Completely turning people who have been brought up in the doctrines of grace, making them compromise, going down the route of neo-Calvinism, new Calvinism, where they embrace the doctrines of grace, but they do not live the doctrines of grace. They don't live them out. And many of these big celebrity names in the Calvinistic world, I'm afraid to say, are heading in the same direction. We cannot outsource our responsibility as parents, as a father, to these people. We cannot do that. Yes, I'm not saying that it's not right for us to listen to sermons online, but you see, often these big names, when they've been in that world a long time, often we see much compromise. I mean, some of these big names have been given over. They talk about these martial arts. Some of them obsessed with worldly things. They talk about worldly movies on social media. They associate themselves with rap artists that are ungodly. It's obvious that these are men are believers. What I'm really getting to, friends, is this. Do not outsource your responsibility. God has given you a voice and me a voice to speak to our children. It's our responsibility. It says, thou, when you sit in your house, it's our responsibility to teach our children. It's not another man's responsibility. It's a lazy, careless, outsourced Christianity, if that is your case. It's your responsibility to read the Bible and study the Bible. God has given you a voice, and we cannot outsource our responsibility any further. We must sit down and read and show ourselves approved, and with our children, bring them up in God's way. We must have Christian discernment. And I think that's where our Christianity has gone so wrong nowadays. This internet age that we live in, where people even forget to come to their sermon, oh, I'll just go online and watch a sermon. That's where we've gone wrong. We've just outsourced it. And true, we're living in the days, I believe, the last days, increasingly last days, where true believers will be counted for. And will be few and far between. We are living in those days where there will be a great falling away of true believers. And we're seeing that. True believers committed to the Lord, living for the Lord. This worldly Christianity we're seeing. I'll just go home, I'll just put on a sermon, and I don't have to be committed to the cause of the gospel. I don't have to be spent for the Lord. What a shame. On that day of judgment, I believe there'll be many men, many parents. I believe there'll be many children testifying to their parents and saying, it was my father, it was my mother that did not show me these things. That yes, they spoke to me, they put things on, but they did not show me. They allowed me to watch worldly things. They allowed my mind to be corrupted. How many children will testify to their parents on that day? I'm not saying these things to be mean. I'm saying these things for us to be serious about the things of God. We must be serious. We must take these things to heart. Friends, whatever failings we've had as parents in the days gone before us, and I've had many. I've got my hand up here. It's that I've had many failings as a father. But whatever failings that we've had as fathers and as wives, they can be forgiven you. All of them can be forgiven you. If you truly mean it, if you truly come to that fact of every blessing, as long as we sincerely reach by faith to those heavenly words, and we truly seek God's words, to take heed thereto according to God's word, that's where the blessing is. And the Apostle Paul says to this effect in Philippians 3:13, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forget about them. If you're sincerely repentant about your failings, repentant about my failings, forget about them. The Lord has covered them. Don't get back there. Don't torment yourself.
and go back then. You're now to head forward, reaching forth unto those things which are before us. That's what we need to do. Dear brethren, we cannot change our past sins and faults and shortcomings as parents. However, we can, by the grace of God, be sure to protect our children's minds and our grandchildren's minds and be an influence to them in the days that lie ahead of us by teaching them diligently God's word and by training and showing them by our life that we are committed to the Lord. Our children are watching. A lost world is watching. And we must diligently do this to show them that we love God and that we are serious about the grace that has been committed to us. The psalmist learned by his many faults, didn't he, in this respect, by the grace of God. And in his latter years, he was a better father for us, didn't he? He learned through his carelessness in terms of impurity and in terms of discipline. And he was a mighty man of faith. But in his latter years, he became a better father. Solomon testifies to this very fact in Proverbs 4:4, where he says, "He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." Keep my commandments and live. Do we keep the commandments of the Lord? Do we have an awe of them? That these are God's words. These are God's words for our blessing, for our eternal welfare. The second point of application for the youth is this. Where can a young person know of cleansing his way? Where can a young person know of cleansing his way? It is imperative that our young people understand that their way is not the right way. Their way is not the right way. I remember when I was a teen growing up, and, you know, often when you're growing up, there's so many things around you. Our culture says, you can do it. Reach for the stars. You can do whatever you want in life. Get what you want out of life. Nothing's beyond your reach. I remember very vividly. And even at school, push it hard. You can do it. And our way is not the right way, friends. It must be God's way. It must be. Our children need to know. It's parents' responsibility to teach them from God's word. Your way is not the right way. And it is the youth that is, it is true of youth that they can be very proud in this sense. I'm not saying all youth, but it can be true that youth can say, well, I don't need these things. I don't need to be reproved. I don't need instruction. We all need instruction. Every one of us, and even a Christian that is in his latter years, we all need instruction. Reproofs are the way of life. We must understand that our way is not the right way. God's word says to this effect in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in a child, in the heart of a child. It's not, God's word doesn't matter, does it? And it's true, by nature, we're foolish, especially a child's heart. A child's heart is also a lot more innocent than an adult's heart in the fact that they don't become so worldly in that respect. They're not so full of guile. Children have an argument and they forgive each other. Adults have an argument. And 5 years later, when they forgive each other. And these things shouldn't be, should they? But nevertheless, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It is the great folly of our age to exalt our youth to the decision-making process of adults. It's the great folly of our day. How clearly do we see this nowadays with the world's leading religion of climate change, don't we? Which is headed up by that teenage, misguided Swedish girl, Greta Thunberg, who lectures world leaders as a teenager freely on matters which he is completely ignorant about. She's completely ignorant about. And she lectures them. She's given free course by the media, by the world's leaders to do so. And this is the days that we're living in, is that children become the new parents. Everything's done for the children. Parents are not being parents. Adults are not being... And it's funny, whenever there's... And there happens to be voting or an election, they all say, well, what do the children want? What do the 10-year-olds want and 15-year-olds want? And I don't want to speak against our young people here, because they are blessings. But it's the adults that need to make the decisions according to God's word. We must understand that. Friends, our youth must understand there is absolutely no excuse to disrespect their parents and those in authority. No excuse at all for that. God makes that absolutely crystal clear. The Lord Jesus himself had some very strong words indeed in Mark 7:10, when he said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die of death. Very strong words. What the Lord Jesus is saying here, if you will not listen to your Christian parents, who God has put over you to show you the way in God's word of eternal blessing and peace, if you will not listen to them, you will surely not listen to God. And that's true. Disobedient children who will not listen to their parents will not listen to God. If you see that a child is often disrespecting their parents, murmuring, complaining to their parents, living in disobedience and rebellion, it's obvious. They can talk as much as they want about the Lord. They are living in rebellion from God. They're not being a Christian. Because God wants you to honor those who he's put over you in your life. And I know these things may seem to our culture now as hard things, but they're not. These are God's words. We must take them to heart. Never ever allow a child to think they are a Christian if they are often disobedient and murmuring and dishonoring to their parents. In the same respect, Christian parents need to understand not to exacerbate their children. You know, I know I'm a bit of an axe to grind in this respect, but these celebrity evangelists as well, they'll say, well, all our children are saved, got saved at 6 years old and 7 years old, and they'll make a big show of it. And they'll say, all our children are not saved in this year, and they'll make this big parade of piousness. God doesn't work like that. Our children are saved at different times. And as parents, we can be very impatient and think, well, all my children need to be saved before they're a teenager. God doesn't work in that way. But God will save our children whenever he wants. It's us that need to be faithful to him and to be patient and to hold to his promises. And if our children will be saved, 1, 6, 7, 8, wonderful. Another in their later teens, wonderful. It's up to the Lord. Now, don't believe these celebrity evangelists in this respect. And so parents, and I, again, put my hand up in this respect. Don't exacerbate your children and push them and condemn them at 12, 13 years old if they're not yet a Christian and they are seeking the Lord. Yes, we need to persuade them and encourage them and do our utmost, but we should not exacerbate them and provoke them to anger. It says in Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the commandment with promise. Notice that's the only commandment with a promise. You notice that? And I do believe God honors that commandment if we're found faithful. And I've been charged, and my wife has been charged, in how we bring our children. God will get the glory when our children are saved, because we don't want to allow our children to watch certain things. And they mockingly said, well, God will get the glory when our children are saved. And we don't think that it's because of us that God, because of what we do, we believe it's by the grace of God alone, but we have a responsibility. We should never, ever use the grace of God as an excuse for our responsibility. God has given us directives in His Word, and never, ever use those, the grace of God. It is a worldly person that uses the grace of God to excuse themselves for living for God's will. It is a worldly person that does that. And we have a responsibility. And God promises us that if we take our responsibility sincerely, He will bless. It goes on to say that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Young person, if I can speak to your heart, it will be well with you if you listen to God's word from your parents. You will be blessed. God promises that if you hearken to His word through the authority He has put in your life, it will be well. It will be well with your soul. He means that. Let's hold to God's promises by faith. Let's now move on to our third and final consideration, and that is taking heed according to thy word. It must be the great care and rule and watchfulness of our young people to listen to their parents in the Lord when they speak of God's word and show them by their life God's word. And in particular, to retain and to think about the words of God. It was said of Timothy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. And we saw that with Timothy. Parents, whenever we come to worship God, whether we are at home or corporately amongst our brethren like we are here today, we must tell our children to prepare their hearts to worship the Lord. And we should never ever come into God's house or into worship in a flippant way. In a light way, as if it's just another activity. We come to worship God, the triune God. It's a great privilege and blessing to come before the King of Kings. We are honored and we are blessed to be invited to come to Him. We should never, ever come in a flippant or casual way. We should seek as much as possible to be those who prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. God's word says in John 17:17, to this effect, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word sanctify comes from the word sanctuary, doesn't it? When we come into the sanctuary, we want to be sanctified. We want God's word to speak to us, the living word, the light lamp. And so we must, when we approach worshipping the Lord, do so in a reverent way. Now, one of the great follies of youth is always thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. And I did, growing up, and in particular, when the Lord started saving my siblings, my brother Jason, my sister Teresa, and other people in my family, one by one, at different ages, and then I, peer pressure and many other things, I thought, well, the Christian life is such a limited life. It's so boring. I thought these things. It's such a... The grass is greener on the other side. I'm so limited with my life. I can't do these things. And the truth is, it cannot be farther from the truth. Since the Lord saved me, it's been a wonderful adventure. It's been a liberating experience. Before I was captive, before I was a slave to my sin, I knew nothing but living for my sin and being dictated to like an animal by my sin and by my impulses. That's what it is before you become a Christian. I'm just dictated to. I'm just like an animal, just gratifying my lusts and my sins. But we think that the grass is greener on the other side. Oh, if I could just get out of my parents' authority, and just like the prodigal son, live the life that I want to live, and live according to the things I want in my heart, the fantasies and the things, then, oh, how a wonderful life would be. Not so.
not so.
I testify, and many Christians, many prodigals, testify to that very fact. Grass is not greener on the other side. Because we, like sheep, have gone astray. We go over the hedge of God's laws, of his directives, and we think it's better. And we go over that hedge to eat the green grass, as it were, away from God's word, and you know what? There's another field. And you know what's in that other field? Nicer grass. And so we go to that other field, and you know what? There's another field that's got longer, more greener grass. And we go to that field, and we spend our life of righteous living until we cannot find our way home again. We end up so far from the farm, from the shepherd's eye, that we're lost. We are prone to danger. We are prone to thieves. We are prone to the elements. And this was true of me for many years. Just living for myself. Straying from what I knew my heart was right. Living for self. Living for what the culture says. Live for number one. It's greener. Get those things. And I'm dead. And I was miserable. And there was an emptiness and a loneliness of soul in my heart. And you, your Christians, who have experienced such things, can testify to those things, an emptiness. And that's what the prodigal son teaches us. That when we stray from God's word, we do not take heed to take care of listening with our hearts to God's word. Being watchful that we really are listening to God's word. You know, if there are any here today and hearing what I'm saying, and you're not listening with your heart, it's just going out one ear and out the other. Just these words are not, you don't enjoy what I'm saying. You don't delight to hear God's word. I really hope you take heed and you listen to God's word that will be for your blessing. And I knew of these things, and friends, it will lead us so far from the Good Shepherd into danger. But of course, we can be like that prodigal son. We can come to our wits' end. We can realize how foolish was I. How foolish was I to stray from my Good Shepherd, from his word, who cares for my soul. How foolish was I. And then, of course, the Lord, in that moment, when you truly repent and trust in his word and his ways, the Lord will come to save you. Young person and old person, is your heart in it? Do you love God's word? Do you love it? Do you delight in it? It is safe to say that if you do not love God's word, and you do not delight in its commandments, that is, I'm afraid to say, you're simply not yet a Christian. You're not yet a Christian if you do not love God's word and delight in his commandments. Do we love the Lord's day? Do we love assembling together with the saints? Or is it boring? I can't wait to get home to do what I want to do. You're not yet a Christian. Don't fool yourself if you do not love the things that God loves. You're not yet a Christian. I don't get any pleasure in saying that. But you must become a Christian. You must know that you love God's word. And take heed, make it your rule in life. I will not stop seeking until I know that I am in Christ. Truly in Christ, changed in my heart, so that I've got a new desire and principles walked by the Holy Spirit of God. That I'm living for Him now. That's what we need for our young people. Young person, don't try to ignore God's word by many distractions out there. There's so many distractions. It's distractions of the mind, and are there so many things that can take us away from the Lord. There are consequences for our sins. It will always be there. God's word will always be there, eating away at your conscience, convicting you of your need to get right with God. It will always be there. We can be like Jonah, don't we? Try to escape the judgments of God, and try to escape, but God's word will be there, as it were. Young person, be wise, therefore, and flee youthful lusts. And go to that fount of every blessing. Go to Jesus and cleanse him. And believe on what he did on the cross was for your sins. And trust in his blood. Trust he is able to make you whole and to cleanse you and to give you a heart that loves his word. Take heed of his word, not just with your ears, but with your heart. Believe in it. Trust in it with all your heart. Where are those people in days gone past who did not take heed to God's word? Where are the people that gave themselves to their lusts and to worldly pursuits and to unprofitable riches that make wings and fly away? Where are those people? They're in the grave. They're in hell. Dear young person, God's word, aided by the grace of God, can save you. It can save you. It can save you from a meaningless life, just a base life, like an animal. If we don't have God's word within us, we're just like an animal, just living for our impulses and our urges. God can save you. We can have a higher purpose in life. I'm made for a purpose in life. I'm made for eternal purposes. And my time down here is an adventure to live for the Lord, to be used of the Lord, to know of his blessing in my life, to know of eternal truths. I'm not an animal like they tell me I'm an animal. I'm made for God. Trust in his word. Believe in it with all your heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. I really hope and pray that we will all take heed. And by the grace of God, trust in his word alone. Shall we sing to God?